With that, let's pray. God guide us through his word. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to us, Lord. Thank you so much for just causing us, Lord, to honor you in song, Lord. Just to break out in praise and worship, Lord, as we sing for you. Thank you so much that you bring us here, Lord, to listen to you, Lord. We all gather to learn from you. Lord, our ears are attentive. Lord, as we are clay, you are the potter. Shape us again through the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And I can tell you it's a huge privilege that God has given me to be your pastor. And, you know, through the year, I've known a number of you a little more closer and better, and committed to getting to know every one of you. We're not so many here, right? Just a few hundred people. I'm just committed to knowing you a little more this year and to serve you. So thank you so much even for the privilege for being here and giving me the opportunity to pastor you and to love you. So you can give yourself a good hand. When I was put in this position, two things that, you know, came to my heart, and I feel like God wanted me to put some emphasis on them, and it is love and discipleship. And that's how that statement came about. We are a Bible-teaching church with a mission to love and disciple. So today, let's take a look at what really this means for our church and for each one of us who call this church home. Our first call is to love, and our first love is God's love. Let's open up to Mark chapter 12, verses 30 to 31. This was really an argument, and the scribes and the Pharisees were questioning Jesus and asking him what the greatest commandment is. Of course, in their mind, in their legalistic mind, they were thinking maybe he's going to mention a certain law given in the Old Testament apart from the Ten. And Jesus summarized really the law in just two verses, Mark chapter 10, rather 12, verses 30 to 31. In fact, from verse 29, the first of all the commandments is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this." Now, this could have really bothered these legal minds of Jesus' day. That among the 613 laws given, ceremonial, ritual, moral laws given, all can be summarized into two: love God and love people. And that's what we're setting ourselves to do as a church. And when you come here, it's an expression of your love for God. And when you come here also, you're really committing yourself to love God's people. Jesus said that, let's make God a priority, the first and the greatest. And he's reminding the Jews, and he's reminding us that love has to be priority. And everything we do, we should do as a means of loving our God. We should love our God with all our might, all our mind, our thoughts, all our strength. And he said the second is like the first. It's still love. But it's love for people. You cannot claim that you love God if you don't love his people. And as a church, let's commit ourselves to loving God and to loving one another. Somebody said in this commandment, first of all, in regard to age, is the oldest. Before Adam and Eve had any other command, they were told to love the Lord who created them. He said it is the first commandment in regard to priority as well. It's the oldest and is of the greatest priority. And every other act of obedience is empty if we do not love God like he commands us. When we gather to sing, it's an expression of our love for God. When we give to his work, it's an expression for our love for God. When we sit down and listen to his teaching together, it's an expression of our love together, of our love for God. And we need to commit ourselves to that. And love for him is really obedience to all that he commands. We know it all. We know what God wants us to do. We know the things that he teaches us to be like in our love for him. In John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. He tells them it's a new commandment, not that they have not heard it before, but it's a fresh one for them to hear. It's a reminder that we should love one another just as God loved us. You know how God loved us? To the point of dying on the cross for us. And we should be those who are willing to actually die for one another. An expression, first of all, for love for God, and our expression of that love that he gave us that we pass on to each other. The interesting thing about verse 35 is that it's only love that portrays our fellowship with God. Nothing else. Do you know very spiritual people? Right? When we see people really prayerful, we can say, oh, that person is prayerful. Very spiritual. They're in every prayer service. We see people gifted differently and executing and using their gifts for others, preaching or evangelism, and we think, wow, that is spiritual. There is only one mark of spirituality that can challenge us this day. It is love. Do you know somebody who is really loving? Are you really a loving person? And God says that is the greatest mark of spirituality. Prayer is good. Giving is good. And all these are principles that the Bible teaches us. Those are all good, but they all should flow from one thing. It's love. History tells us that the early Christians, the Book of Acts Christians, loved each other so much that the world was jealous. And they wanted to be a part of them. They wanted to get saved because the Christian community was a loving one. It was the only place where love was expressed, sacrificial and unconditional love. And often the best tool of evangelism, calling people to Jesus Christ, is the tool of love. Do they know that you really love them? Or you are just going to out there yell at them? They need Christ. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul would tell the Corinthians that though I speak in tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I'm just like a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Just a bunch of noise. Disorganized noise, by the way. Irritating noise. They have the gift of prophecy and can understand mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have faith so that I could move mountains, but I don't have love, it is nothing. I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burnt up, but have not love, I gain nothing. We can be extremely and powerfully gifted. We can make the greatest sacrifices ever, charitable sacrifices. We can be the most knowledgeable. And tell you what, some people are just full of scriptures. They don't have love at all. You know such people? They can just memorize verses like their random access memory is super. But sometimes they can be the most unloving, most impatient, most intolerant. In fact, the Bible teaches that knowledge alone just puffs you up. You'll just boast around because you know everything. And at the end of the day, you're the most unloving person on earth. And yet you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And especially for us, who every Sunday in, out, every Wednesday, every gathering is centered around scriptures. We can end up being so knowing, and that knowledge turns us into very prideful people. And in that very chapter, Paul would teach the Corinthians what love means. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love, you know the rest of the verses, endures, perseveres, always hopes. Love does not seek its own, but for others. Love always trusts. And in fact, love never fails. And as a church, let's commit ourselves to love. Love for God and love for one another. Let's love each other so much that people out there will want to be part of us just because of our love for each other. In fact, before we can express our love for non-Christians, we need to express our love for one another. They will see it. What does love mean for us as a church? And for you, who calls this place home? First of all, love for God is commitment to fellowship and all the events that happen around this church. I encourage you, make some time for all the events that are going to happen this year. Come for the baptism. Even if you're not going to be baptized, come and be a witness of those who are being baptized. Come for the conferences. Come for the fellowships. It's going to be very hard for you to love one another if you're not part of what's happening around this church and all the events and all the programs. In fact, that's why I ask you to try to get to know one person. Just look at them in the face and let them get to know you. The next time you meet on the street, you have somebody to love, don't you? I one time went to Kiseka Market. Whoever goes there. And this guy was surprised that I was there looking for a mechanic to fix my car. He's like, Pastor, you also come this side? When we know each other, love is going to flow. It's very hard to love strangers who are sitting next to you, right? In fact, the one benefit of just getting to know each other is that those who don't belong here, and I mean not visitors or people who are new in the church, but the people, and maybe you've been a victim of this, there are people who sit next to you just to steal you in church. That happens almost every month. And you may think, oh, that's just a Christian. I'm not even going to look at them in the face. I'm just going to mind my business. And before you know it, your phone is missing, your bag is missing, right? But if you take time to look at them in the face, give them a warm handshake, what's your name? They're not going to steal from you. You just took note of them, right? You meet them down there, they're like, ah, you know that person, I'm not going to steal from them. But once you sit there and you just mind your business, your bag is going to go missing, and there's nothing much you can do, right? You're going to report, you'll go to the police, but your bag or your phone or something went missing. Every time you come in this church and you say it to somebody who is not familiar, please get to know them. And the next time you meet on the street, you will know each other, and the love of God will just flow amongst us. You'll grow in our love and involvement in each other's lives. Participate in everything, whatever you can, that happens around. There are people, parents, you're here. There are people who are committed to loving you by taking care of children down there. Do you ever get to know them and appreciate them? Do you ever go and give them a warm handshake? Some just walk there, stand like 2 meters from the door, and you point the kids in, and up you come. Do you know the people who are teaching your children? I can never forget a few parents when I was teaching Sunday school years ago who actually invited me home. And I was wondering why they were inviting me. And they said, "We just want to appreciate you for taking care of our children." It really melted my heart. I can never forget that. Do you take time to know those people and actually invite them in your home just to appreciate them for taking care of your kids? Please do. Please do. Get to know them. Invite them to your home. Give them a meal. Take them out for a nice treat. The people who serve us tea, do you get to know them? You just smile at them and get your cup of tea and walk off? They're here to serve you. What they're doing is the expression for their love for God and love for you. They're here to serve you. Do you take time to appreciate them and to know them? Because tell you what, this world is a very small place. You're going to meet on the streets, you're going to meet at work, you're going to meet in very many places. And when we know each other, the love of God will flow. Amen? The people who usher, do you take time to know them? In the past year, if you probably are a victim of this, a good victim, I actually invited myself to people's homes. Some of you know that, right? And some were like, "You want to come to our home?" I was like, "Yeah." I was surprised. But that's what it means. This is family, right? That should be normal. I want us to, every month at least, commit to inviting somebody home where we live. If it's too far away, like for me, I live in Mukono, take them out for a cup of tea. Talk. This is family. This is home. This church is going to be a really better place if every Sunday is a celebration of our love for one another and love for God. And when we come, we're looking forward to see the faces that we know. And tell you what, by the end of the year, we'll just know everyone around. Each one of you knowing 2, 3, 4, 10 more people. By the end of the year, we know each other. We may find each other on the streets and we need help. Your car broke down. I never know. You help that person out because you actually know, "Oh, that is somebody I know from church. Let me stop over and give them a lift or help them repair their car." That is really our obligation, our responsibility. Each one of us. It's not just me. Get to know people. Now, of course, there are those who will always give excuses. "Ah, for us, Pastor, we are quiet." The quiet people, I normally tell them, Jesus found you as you are. He doesn't want you to remain the same. Step out of your quiet shoes. All right? There are people who come and they just sit by themselves. And at the end of the month, they are complaining, This church is very unloving. Have you yourself taken time to love somebody? Or are you waiting to be loved? And it's interesting, the more you wait to be loved, you know that you actually won't experience the love. But the moment you give yourself to love somebody, you know that you'll receive that love back. So I encourage you. Every one of you, invite me, invite people, you know, get to know people like I've gotten to know some of you. And tell you what, this is going to be a really strong, loving family of believers. The second thing that we're committed to is discipleship. It basically means learning and growing together to be like Jesus Christ. We call those men the 12 disciples because they committed themselves to follow and learn from Jesus. And we are disciples because we are committed to follow and learn from him. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, if you can open there real quick, sometimes the scriptures are projected up here. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Paul really is describing that we are gifted differently. Some of you are very good at explaining the gospel, and people are really quick to listen when you speak. Some of us are not very good at that, not very gifted at that. Some prophets, they're just good at encouraging people, and maybe every once in a while, God just reveals the thing that he wants to do to you, and you're able to use that to encourage others. Some are pastors. Some are teachers. Some of you are very good at teaching, teaching Sunday school, teaching home groups, teaching other fellowships, teaching elsewhere that God has placed you. And explains that all those abilities have been given to us, not for any other reason, but to equip each other, to equip other Christians for the work of the ministry and to build the body of Christ, to build God's kingdom. Can you imagine what this church would be if we didn't have musicians? It would be a very dull place to be. You wouldn't actually be here if we did not have people who are gifted with music, who have been given that ability to sing. Imagine you come and there's no pastor, there's no preaching. You wouldn't be here, would you? Then there's no Sunday school. And God has gifted us differently, that we may benefit one another, that we may build up each other. And one thing that we should be committed to every year is growing in the Word. We do this every time we meet. Growing in our knowledge, and not just for knowledge's sake, but that knowledge should transform us to be like Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus' last words to his followers in 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." People are going to get saved, so you take them and teach them to follow me effectively. That's discipleship. Now, discipleship happens through a service like this. We learn together through the teaching of God's word, don't we? The men's group meet, and that's what they do. The women's meet, that's what they do. Children are out down there being discipled, being taught scriptures. All the events that happen are designed to help us grow together to become effective followers of Jesus Christ. And I challenge you. One, you are gifted. Use that gift to benefit somebody else. And each time you come to church, come to use your gift to benefit somebody else. And each time you walk away from these buildings after service, or at the end of the day, ask yourself, have I used my abilities, my gifts, my skills to benefit somebody else today? And if not, you have another chance the following week. Ask yourself, have you built somebody else? Have you done something that is actually building to somebody else? Have you gotten to know somebody else better? Have you done things that benefit each other? Inviting each other in our homes, you know, spending time in town, just talking over food or over drink. Have you helped somebody grow? Every time we gather here, we're really saying we've come to help each other grow. Grow in our love for Jesus Christ. Our call as a church is to learn and grow, to make disciples, to strengthen and build up each other for the work that God has for us. you know, the most formal environment that we have is really the Bible College. And John will, I think next week, tell you what's coming up the next semester. I myself went through it. You probably would not have me here. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't helped to grow as a Christian. And we need to commit ourselves to helping each other grow. Let's make that our intention each time we meet. In fact, I was told of a man who was going out of church, almost probably like this church, and the preacher was at the back standing and greeting everybody who was walking out. And he noticed one man who always walked in and walked out. He asked him, "I don't see you involved. I don't see you doing anything around church, and you've been here for years." The man replied and said, "I'm in the Lord's army, but I'm in the secret service." There's nothing like being in the Lord's army and in the secret service. You're in the public service, all of us. Publicly out there to look out for ways to build each other up. Right? Build each other up. Jesus builds us up through the teaching of his word. And we, and especially us, who every week are committed to learning, have a lot to do, a lot to give out. To whom much is given, much is expected. And let's not just feed and be healthy and stagnant. That's a very dangerous place to be. Whatever you learn, whatever food you eat here, you're healthy enough to give it to somebody else who really is hungry. Tell you what, there are so many hungry, spiritually hungry Christians in this town and everywhere we live. And it's our responsibility to feed them. Invite them to church. Tell them at Calvary Chapel, it's God's word. Come and eat. Come and feed. We're not just here to grow numbers and be a mega church. If God allows that, great. But the one thing we're supposed to do is to build each other up. And tell you what, God will place us wherever he can use us. In Proverbs chapter 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Are you sharpening each other? Are you committed to sharpening each other? I want to challenge all of us to make it a point to sharpen one another. All right? We can gather to have fun, but even in the fun, we're building up each other. We can gather to learn. In the learning, we're building up each other. We can gather for fellowship, to eat, to do a baptism, to pray. And in all that, we're really sharpening, growing, and building up one another. If you're new here, and if you've been here for a while, all of us have the privilege to love God, to love one another, and to grow one another, to build each other up. Amen? Amen. And you know, time and again, we're going to have all the leaders up here, you know, through the year, actually through the next few months, to tell you what is going to be happening in different ministries and different fellowships and different events. And all these are designed to help us express our love for God, love one another, and grow together. And by the end of this year, you know that this place will be completely a different feel each time you come on Sunday. Almost every Sunday or every time you gather in an event or fellowship or group, it's a celebration, a climax of our love for God, our love for one another, and the building up of one another in the faith. Can I have a loud amen? Amen. All right, let's stand and pray. So you have that person that you met for the very first time today, earlier. At the end of the service, please get to know that person more. And if you do that, just once a month, if you purpose to get to know just one person every month, by the end of the year, you will have known 12 new people in this church, and that makes a big difference, doesn't it? In fact, just a last note, one of the reasons I'm told Alexander the Great succeeded in a very short time conquering the world is that he made sure each of his soldiers knew just one other person deeper. So every two Alexandrian soldiers knew each other, and that chain kept on going. So I know you, you know so-and-so knows so-and-so. And he built a very strong army just because they knew each other so well. And we will build a large and strong army for God if we know each other better this year. Lord, thank you so much for loving us. Lord, you loved us so dearly. You gave yourself for us. And Lord, our first call is to love you back, Lord. We love you back in obedience to what you tell us to do. We love you back in just adoring you, in song, in thought, in meditation, in talk, in prayer, in everything that we do. We love you back, Lord, by loving each other. And Lord, we are standing here committed to loving you, in loving and serving one another. Lord, we are committed to learning and growing. Lord, may this not just be knowledge, but life-transforming knowledge. Lord, we grow through the teaching of your word, and we are committed to learning from you every week. Every day, Lord, every moment that we think about you and you open up your word. So Jesus, grow us. May we learn from you. May we learn from one another. May we sharpen each other. Lord, thank you so much for just the privilege, the privileges we have as your children. The privilege of being family under one Lord and one Father. Lord, that makes more meaning than just a gathering. We are brothers and sisters. Lord, as brothers and sisters, may we be committed to building up one another. In Jesus' name. I should have the loudest amen ever.
Amen.